My apologies for the slight delay. Tena koto tafano, O Unitarians. O tamaki makoto. Tena koto na manuhiri. No mai haere mai ki tene whare karakia o te atua. Ko Ted Zorn toko wingwa, ko Cooper River te awa, ke tamaki makoro aho e noho ana. Waiho I te toipoto, kawa I te toiroa. No reira, e rō rangapiti o mā, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa. Welcome all to this space of worship and fellowship, a space made sacred by our coming together today and by gatherings of Auckland Unitarians for over 120 years. If you're a visitor here for the first time, thank you for choosing to be here with us. If you're a member or a regular attendee, thank you for returning to join together with each other in our free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We might need some more chairs in the back. It's nice to need more chairs, by the way. That's a good problem to have. Consider this time together a sanctuary for the soul, a haven of peace and hope. It's a time to reflect on what it means to be human, what it means to be connected to our fellow humans, and how we spend our time and energy on this earth. My name is Ted Zorn, and I'll be leading the service today. We are fortunate to have my friend Dan Tafenawal Walker as our guest speaker, and I'll introduce Dan later. Our theme for the service is walking together in relationship, and Dan will talk about this theme and his personal journey of integrating Te Tiriti values into his life and work. My thanks to John DeLeo for doing the Zoom hosting and to Tess Brotherson for her help in the in-church tech support, and always to Paul Howarth for his tech support and preparation for today. By the way, the Whakatoki or proverb, Waiho e te toipoto kawa I te toiroa, means let us keep close together, not wide apart, which seemed a good fit for our theme today. For my opening words, I've chosen a poem entitled When I First Asked for My Whakapapa by Miriama Gemmell, because some significant parts of the poem are in Te Reo, which most of us here do not speak fluently. I will read it first, and then I'll read a commentary which helps to explain it afterwards. So I'd ask you just to listen and enjoy. I think you'll get most of it, but I think you'll enjoy it nonetheless. When I first asked for my whakapapa, I heard four names, four corner posts for a whare: Irish seaman, Scotch gambler, German whaler, and an English captain. Four white men for the foundations of who I am. Their last names to our Tuakiri, when ours are insufficient. Next, I heard a list of names lilting like a songbird. Tamatea Ariki Nui, Rongokako Tamatea Pokai Fenua. To his son, and his son, and his son, we'll never know if some of the fathers were mothers. Needing to clarify, Ia or Ia came with the corner posts. Awe takiri e, I call on my tapuna wahini. Where did you plant your waiwai? Which names were yours? That I might call on you to protect my maori, my wairua, which stumbles at the clip-on edges of his son and his son and his son. Hidden names, forgotten mothers. Mana akatia mai, korero mai, teach me to be humble. To have heard proud, to be heard, Maya and Mana Waroa, Matapihi Turoa against the rain, Mana Wanui, with or without the grace of their God. And now here is a comment on an interpretation of the poem by Esame Ranapiri in the spinoff. The white men claiming the largest chunks of your past, the claim ringing false, the separations, the echo both of the English flag but also the Maori flag of independence. There are multiplicities inside of ourselves that have yet to be realized, yet to be held up to the light. And all the silenced voices of women, of Wahine, they tried to silence, but we can hear them, with or without the grace of their God. My knowledge of ancestors is a lot brighter around my Scottish and English ancestors. What privileges they earned for me to know of them. What whiteness that stains, some racist standard that holds me down. I will have to learn to love every part of the tree I have fallen from. In time, I will have to learn how a part of the River Thames I am, as well as of the Waikato. We light this chalice to bring clarity to our quest to bring justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. We light this chalice to illuminate our path towards acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregation. We light this chalice to ignite the fire of our commitment toward the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. And we light this chalice to bring warmth to the connections we form with each other, with all of humanity, and with the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. If you wish, I invite you to recite with me the covenant of our congregation. John will put the words to the covenant in our chat box for those on Zoom. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is the sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom, to serve humankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony. Thus do we covenant with each other and with our God. For this morning's reading, I've chosen excerpts from Dame Anne Salmon's What is the Future of Māori-Pākehā Relations? For more than 200 years, Māori ways of framing the world and explaining how it works have been regarded as implausible, classified as myths, legends, superstition, or religion. This has led to difficulties of translation, with terms like tohunga being translated as priest instead of expert, atua as god rather than powerful ancestor or ancestral force, and tapu as sacred instead of ancestral power. Whakapapa itself has been translated as genealogy, although it is quite different from that idea in English. When the first Europeans stepped ashore in Aotearoa, they brought their own mythic framings with them. One of these was Cartesian dualism. In this cosmic model, subject was radically divided from object, mind from matter, culture from nature, and people from the wider world and from each other. In this binary logic, the world was divided into mutually exclusive units, life forms into species, people into different categories through censuses and nation states, human inquiry into different disciplines, and space and time into standardized measures through instrumentation, and so on. In another closely related, if more ancient, Western idea, the great chain of being, the world was framed as a cosmic hierarchy, with God at the top, followed by archangels and angels, a divine monarch, the quote, civilized ranks of the aristocracy, and commoners, with men over women, descending to barbarians and savages, sentient and non-sentient animals, insects, plants, animals, and rocks. All form of life lower down the chain were expected to offer up obedience and tribute to those higher up. In this kind of framing, the earth, with all its life forms and living systems, is at the bottom of the great chain of being, defined as, quote, resource to be managed for human uses, as in resource management, offering up ecosystem services and so on. The idea that the world was created for human uses is putting human survival at risk, fueling extractive approaches and climate change, dying rivers, acidifying seas, and collapsing ecosystems in Aotearoa, New Zealand, as elsewhere. Given these challenges, many scientists are now turning to ideas of complex networks and systems to understand how the world works. In Aotearoa, many are experimenting with bringing together Maturanga Māori with cutting-edge science, seeking to free their thinking from disciplinary silos by focusing on relations among and between different living systems and life forms. Is this also happening in relations between Māori and non-Māori? Over 200 years, Māori have been subjected to gridded systems that cut through whakapapa, dividing up the land into bounded blocks, bought and sold as commodities on the market, and people into lists of owners and tribal groups on the corporate model. What would a whakapapa-based approach to tariti look like in a country where an increasing number of citizens have whakapapa that include Māori, Pākehā, Pacifica, and many other non-Māori forebears and whanaunga? Rather than Māori versus non-Māori, could ancestral ideas of lines of descent as strands that remain distinct while being woven together to create a fine cloak, a meeting house, a family, or a nation, provoke new ways of imagining relations within and among individuals and groups within Aotearoa? Would it be possible to bring together ideas of whakapapa and complex systems in designing new institutional forms of order in Aotearoa, New Zealand, as well as relations between people and the wider world? Questions? So I'd like to introduce our guest speaker today, Dan Tafenua Walker, Ngāti Ruanui. I first met Dan in 2015 when he was studying at Massey University, where I was dean of the business school at the time. Dan was studying our Masters of Advanced Leadership, and I heard about him well before I met him, because my colleague who was running that program kept telling me about this amazing student that I had to meet and that I had to get on all of our boards. Once I got to know Dan, I agreed with Mike that was the case. And we did invite Dan to be on two of our boards, and he accepted and served on them and was great. For better or worse, though, nearly everyone else who meets Dan thinks the same thing. So this fellow is amazing, and we want him to work with us, and let's invite him onto our board. And so he is on many boards. In addition to his day job at Microsoft, which is a full-time and very demanding day job, and being a father and husband as well. At Microsoft, among other things, he is global co-chair of Indigenous for Microsoft. He's also a director for multiple charities and other organizations, including being on the board of Tataki Auckland, Tamaki Makaurau Auckland's Economic and Cultural Development Agency. I think we used to call it ATEED. And he's also a director of New Zealand Māori Tourism, where he's deputy chair of the board. So outside of my professional connections with Dan, we've both been involved in the last couple of years with the Essentially Men organization. And we sort of rediscovered each other one weekend when we were both serving on the same team. And since then have also been on a men's group in the Hibiscus Coast, which emerged from the Essentially Men work. So it's a great pleasure to have Dan here to speak with us. And I'll just say, after Dan's talk, I will do the usual sequence of closing matters. And then instead of the discussion groups, we'll have Q&A. And have an opportunity to bring Dan back up briefly to ask some questions and hear what he has to say about that. So, Dan, welcome.
Kia ora tātou. We're going to see how the tech goes here. So I just share. Let me know if this comes across okay, and I can unshare if the sound doesn't work. I think that's okay. Yep. And I've got some live translations for our Taiwanese indigenous whānau down the bottom. Unfortunately, it's English to Mandarin, so I'm going to start with a mihi, an acknowledgement. So it doesn't do te reo Māori yet. We also have different karakia or blessings, and this blessing is actually Māori have adopted the Christian values as well as the traditional values, and this karakia is one that actually is to the Christian God. So let us start with a blessing. He honere he kurore ki te atua, he maunga roon ki te whenua, he whakaro pai ki ngā tangata katoa, aha kōna ue, aha kōna wai, te ahi mauri ora. Ha ngā e te atua, he ngā kaugau, ki roto ki tēna, ki tēna o mātou, whakatoongi o tō roto ki a mātou, no reira, tūturu whakamaua ki a tīna. Haumie hui e, tāe ki e. Kia ora. My presentation is about walking together in relationship. My tribes, I come from South Taranaki, which is the Tangahoe, Ngāti Ruanui and Ngārua Henerangi tribes. They have been around the South Taranaki area for around 600 years, and a lot of my ancestors are buried at the bottom of that mountain. Ngāti Kahungunu ki Wairoa, as the name suggests, is Wairoa, which got hit pretty hard in the floods and in the storms. But the marae have been amazing. They've opened up and they've manaakied and taken care of a lot of people. Maniapoto, Tūhaurangi, around the... Maniapoto is the area of in the central North Island, and Tūhaurangi is Rotorua. And then I'm also Pākehā, proud of my Scottish and Irish heritage through my father. So, like all good, I'm a Marvel fan, and like all good Marvel movies, there's a good origin story, and Māori are no different. They have a strong origin story. Māori are a Polynesian people, and you may have seen this, the Polynesian Triangle, which starts at Hawaiki Nui, Hawaii at the top, Hawaiki Pamamau, which is Rapa Nui, also known as Easter Island, kia ora. And then Hawaiki Roa, Aotearoa, New Zealand. And then we have Hawaiki Tapu, Raiatea. Does anyone know where Raiatea is? Tahiti. So that's the central area. And you can go to Tahiti or Raiatea, it is called today. And there's a sacred place called Tapu Tapu Atea, which is the oldest known marae in the world, around 3,500 years old. And the carvings there are Polynesian carvings, and it shows that this was a central highway or thoroughfare, and Māori would be traversing this lots, just like you and I would say we're going down the road to get some milk at the dairy. A lot of our whānau would jump on their waka and head off. I don't want to belittle it because it was a huge achievement. That size doesn't look very big, but it's actually bigger than any single continent in the world. You could drop the United States in there and it wouldn't even touch the sides. And that was the area that the Polynesian peoples traversed. Around 1500 years ago, there were Māori arriving into Aotearoa, but we know that we predate that as well because there was a waka, a canoe found in the South Island, which is over 2,500 years old, which was preserved in the swamp. But around 600 years ago, there was a mass migration of 8 waka, and our waka is our term for double-hulled canoes. They made their way to New Zealand. They came through Rarotonga. Anyone been to the Cook Islands? Yeah. Have you been to the space that they say that all the waka came through? Yeah. So when I go to Rarotonga, I feel like that's my Tūranga Waiwai. That's one of my homes. and their language is very similar to my dialect, which is the Taranaki dialect. And most of the 83 official tribes can track their lineage to these waka. Some say that the iwi taketake, which means that they actually come from here. They were, if you go up north, the whānau up there believe that they were the first peoples of the world, Adam and Eve. So everyone has their own different creational stories, which is beautiful. As we know, our British whānau came in around the late 1700s and came all the way through there, and then they started populating mainly up north first, but then all across the country, and we signed Te Tiriti o Waitangi, which was a foundational document between Māori and non-Māori, in particular the Crown. So this is a copy of the tiriti on the side there. And we know that there were two copies, one in Te Reo Māori and one in English. The one up there, the top there, you can see, ko Ngā Motu, and he's put an X, his mark. So he married Te Kahui Hau, and they had Te Maha Hikuroa, who married Te Winaka, and they had Te Pohi Hikuroa, who went down from Maniapoto to Taranaki, and then he married Mariah Wakarangarangi Williams, and then they had Takare Hikuroa, and then he married Minido Kurakatani, and they had Sunny Tamakura Hikuroa, and then Sunny married Evelyn Tarauatuhia Taranaki, and they had Gail Hikuroa, and Gail married Noel Walker, and they had me. So that is my direct ancestor who signed the treaty. And he believed in a future of relationship between Māori and non-Māori. He had a vision, and I believe that he had a good vision. What you may not know is there is something called Te Whakapūtanga Rangatiratanga o Ngū Tereni, which is the Constitutional Declaration of Independence for Aotearoa New Zealand. It was signed before the treaty, and it was officially recognised by the British monarch at the time, which effectively means that it should be recognised as the Declaration of Independence. And some of the issues that we still have today around Te Tiriti is the fact that, particularly up north, because this was signed up north, some of those people up there believe that that should be honoured as per what was agreed back then. So we still have some of this stuff going on. Te Tiriti isn't perfect, and also, this isn't perfect either, because not every Māori signed it. I think the issue was, as was alluded to by Ted, the British wanted the Māori to speak for all Māori, which is not how Māori works, and still today, it's not how Māori works. We're not a homogenous people. We're very, very different. Even tribes right next to each other. So this has led to some of the issues that plague some of our relationships today. But we also know that Te Tiriti was an arrangement and a relationship document, but the law was used as a weapon. And by this time, in 1841, when it first started, so 1840 was when we signed, 1841, a year later, they brought in changes to the law to try and diminish Māori. And this was no different to what happened to many Indigenous peoples around the world. So Land Claims Ordinance Act, Native Lands Act, Suppression of Rebellion Act. Suppression of Rebellion Act was used as a way so they would push Māori. This happened in Taranaki. They would push Māori, and then once they reacted, even if it was just one, then they could take their land. And they used that as, they coupled that with the New Zealand Settlement Act so that they would take their land and then settle it under British Crown. So most of Taranaki, almost 80% of it was taken through that form. Native Schools Act is a as you can see up here, you probably can't see it down there, but it says the natural abandonment of the native tongue involves no loss to the Māori. So we hope that they stop speaking Te Reo Māori and speak English, was generally the goal of the Native Schools Act. Interestingly, it was only revoked officially as law in the 1970s. But this is where you hear from a lot of Māori, including my nana, where she was beaten for speaking her language. She lasted 2 years and then she didn't go back to school, which led to all sorts of other issues as well. The Native Schools Act was actually a ploy to try and lobotomise Māori people and make them good English citizens. So those issues lead to what we have today. Again, a lot of words up here, but we lead the world in terms of negative statistics. We're only 15% of New Zealand's population. Actually, we just made around 16% just recently. But we are over half of New Zealand's children living in poverty are Māori. Half of our men in prison are Māori. Over 70% of our women in prison are Māori. 70% of our children in child services are Māori. Average life expectancy is 5 years less, and so on and so on. Health issues, education issues, all of these lead out into a lot of the worst demographic statistics in the modern world. It isn't something that I put in here to try and make anyone feel guilty, but it is the reality of what we live with today. And it does result in all sorts of things where we get unhappy with Māori. We want them to just sort themselves out. But you're dealing with intergenerational trauma that still exists today and still is in the hearts of many of even my family today. So this is Tarifi Taranaki, my great-grandfather. He's from Tūhorangi Iwi. He was a poet, he was a musician, he fought in the Māori battalion. My wife thinks that I idolise him a bit much, I don't know why. But I love him because he wrote some beautiful waiata. He was a poet and he spoke about things beautifully. Aue Te Aroha is a beautiful poetic song which talks about the trauma of men going off to fight in this war and coming back and not getting recognition from anyone, really, including their own tribes. They were seen, because they came back, a lot of them came back, not even men. They had a lot of trauma from that war. So he wrote about that. And he also wrote the anthem of Tūhorangi Iwi, which is Haere Mai Tūhorangi. He was an amazing man. So he had a daughter, which was Evelyn Tarautuia Taranaki. And she had my mum, which is the lady in the front, in the middle here, Gail Winika Hikuroa. And she went down to Christchurch with the Māori Trade Training Scheme and met my dad, Scottish and Irish fella, who down in Christchurch, they met, got married and had me. So this is me, this little half-caste confused boy from Christchurch. So I grew up disconnected to my tribe, disconnected to my language, disconnected to my wakapapa. And at this specific time, I remember believing that I wasn't even Māori. I didn't look Māori, and I still don't really look Māori. And acknowledging that part of me is taking a long time, 40 years, actually. At this particular time, mum and dad split up, and I was with my mum, and her boyfriend was a Pākehā fella, but he was a bit of a drunk, and he used to give me the bash. He'd give me the bash for anything. The lights were left on, my cousins were playing up, he was just angry, he'd give me a real beating. And when I was five, I came to school, they found the bruises, and I got taken off mum. And that is a Māori story as well. We know that a lot of children get taken off their parents. To this day, that mamai, that trauma still sits on my mum's heart. She said her biggest regret in life is that she didn't grab me and run. Got taken off her and didn't live with her for the rest of my life since I was 5. This led through to all sorts of negative outcomes for me. I dropped out of high school, I got in trouble with the law, and I was lost, really lost. Enter mana wahine, this concept of mana wahine, which is female leadership. Female leadership is a very small way of saying this. Mana wahine is a female energy, but matched with male energy, it's unstoppable if it's done in the right way. But for me, these two ladies, my Māori nana and my Pākehā nana, worked together to bring me through some of that tough time. They would never get up here and speak in front of you. They were the ones in the back, always working hard, working so hard, harder than anyone I know. And Nana raised 18 children, and then other children as well that weren't hers. And Nana Walker raised 3 children by herself as a single mum during really tough times. These two conspired to send me back to Taranaki at around 18 to connect with my Taranakitanga, my Māori heritage. And that was pretty amazing. I learnt about my ancestors, and I learnt about this wakatauaki. Anyone know what wakatauaki means? It's a proverb. Oh, you said it, kapai. Proverb, so there's wakatauki, which are proverbs that we don't know who said them. Wakatauaki are proverbs that we know the person who said them. And this person who said this was Turi Ariki Nui, who came, he was the captain of the Aotea Waka, who came across to New Zealand around 600 to 700 years ago. And he said this, e kore au ngaro he kākono au i ruia mai rangiatia. So rangiatia, raiatia, it's the same in Tahiti. And it means, I am never lost in this world, for I am a seed of born of greatness, descended from a line of chiefs. So Turi brought the karaka berry to New Zealand, this karaka berry here. He bought it from the Tahitian Islands, and he was a gardener. He believed in the potential of seeds. So he actually came through Auckland, and he went through Mount Eden, and this bottom left one here is karaka trees that have come from his seeds. They're actually from his seeds from 600 years ago. And then he went down into Waikato, into Kawhia, and he planted more seeds. He went all the way down, and he planting seeds all the way, and finished in Pātia, in Taranaki. And I can follow these little groves of karaka trees that he planted 600 years ago. He planted the seed that turned into now forests that are here today. So for me, this was a foundational moment. I learned about, first of all, someone who I descended from 42 generations back. He planted seeds so that I could learn from him 42 generations down. And it made me think about what seeds am I planting for 42 generations down as well. So I came back to Christchurch, and this is my wife, Marikura. Marikura, this is another mana wahine. And this is my wife. We met at age 10, and then this is us in 1994 in Linwood High School in Christchurch. And then in 2002, we got married. And then this is us just recently with our 3 tamariki, Josh, Tyler, and Maya. She's my rock and has helped me in many ways over the years as I learn about my identity. So, What has happened since with Te Tiriti? Well, we have a Crown acknowledgement and an apology, financial redress and commercial redress, and cultural redress. So in the 1970s, there was this pressure cooker happening where Tamatoa and other groups were launching and saying that this isn't good enough. We are not moving forward here. And the Waitangi Tribunal was like that pressure valve that allowed us to have a source to go back to and get those things like an apology from the government. Those things are powerful, particularly for our future generations. Out of this came a few settlements, the Sea Lord Settlement, Ngāi Tahu Settlement, Waikato Tainui Settlement, Ngāti Ruanui Settlement, which is my tribe, and a total of 86 settlements for $2.2 billion so far. And a lot of people see the money, and we see tribes like this. Ngāi Tahu is one of our biggest tribes. They have become almost like a corporation. You'll see that the Ngāi Tahu Holdings is a separate arm which looks after the investments, and then the Office of Te Runanga o Ngāi Tahu is they look after the social outcomes for the tribe on the left there. So a lot of tribes are set up like this, including my tribe, Ngāti Ruanui. But that is one part of the treaty settlements. Another one that I'm really proud of is Whanganui River achieved legal personhood. Te Iruwera Forest achieved legal personhood. And hopefully we've got Taranaki up there. We're hoping that that'll happen with Taranaki as well. What does that mean? Well, it's not about ownership. What it means is that no one can own it because it owns itself. No one can commercialize it because it owns itself. And this is similar to how we see these spaces, these places, as our ancestors. The beauty of that means that it's not about ownership. There's a lot of thoughts that Māori are trying to take land and so forth, but actually this is the best model for Māori, where no one owns it, but we work collectively as a collective, Māori and non-Māori, to protect for the future, for our future generations. So I'm a part of the Taranaki settlement. It's going slower. Different governments have been involved so far, and the current government saying legal personhood's off the table. So we're like, okay, we'll wait. Even if my children or my great-grandchildren need to pick it up, we don't want to settle until that's on the table. So Māori are, as mentioned before, a diverse culture. We're not homogenous. We have many meta, or many dialects. 83 official tribes with distinct rohe, or recognised land areas, but many, many more hapū sub-tribes. 1,200 marae, traditional meeting houses, and many with mixed heritage like myself. One thing I do want to, as you can see from the many tribes up here, wherever you are in Aotearoa, New Zealand, you are on tribal lands, and you will have a tribe that you can connect with. That's a challenge, a whittle, where please try and find out who your local tribe is. Connect with them, see what they're doing, go to their marae, help in their community. I do get challenged because apparently I speak for all Māori, saying, oh, it's very hard to engage with Māori. It's not. Turn up at the marae with a humble heart and an open to looking to wash the dishes, dry the dishes. Māori will accept you with gracious, open arms. They will engage. We're just going to see how this works.
Is a really important form of identity for us as Māori.
They identify who we are, the people that we come from, that we descend from.
It gives you your cultural identity.
Where we live.
So that others may find a connection with me.
I think a pepeha is
to introduce who you are.
My name is Charlie Kotabamo.
Kotabamo te mama.
Ko Waro Tokawawa.
Ko Waikawa te mama.
Ko Kira Haipo te waka.
Ko Anamahanga Tuku Moana.
Ko Naitahu Tuku Iwi.
Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa.
Our Pepeha are extremely significant for us. They identify our significant mountain. Mountains never move. Our significant awa, because without water, you can't survive. You must have an awa in your mountain.
Ōreti toku awa.
Te nui toku awa.
Ko wakato te awa.
Awa tiri te awa.
Ko Aorangi toku maunga.
Piri piri te maunga. It also really important, it helps you strengthen your whānau whakapapa ties.
Ko Tania toku whare.
Ko Ra toku papa.
Ko McDonald toku whānau.
Ko Ambers toku wāhini.
Ko Traambak toku ingoa, no India aho.
Ko Rita Poet toku ingoa.
Ko John Leggett toku ingoa.
Ko Johnny Joseph toku ingoa.
I put that on there because this is where Aotearoa New Zealand is going, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It also shows that you have a pepeha, and yeah, anywhere in the world where there are indigenous peoples, we see a similar type of arrangement around pepeha. It's done in different ways, but our indigenous whānau from Taiwan also have their own versions of pepeha as well. This is me on my first day at Microsoft. So this is again moving into what it means to be te tiriti honouring within our different platforms and spaces that we exist. There were two Māori, myself and one other Māori, out of 150,000 staff globally. So it's an issue and an opportunity. There's less than 2% of Māori in tech, similar in corporate as well. If you look at the NZX 100, our top 100 companies, there are very few Māori leading in those companies as well. Why is this? I've done some research when I did my master's in advanced leadership so one is cultural tax. There's a cultural tax on Māori who come into these corporate organisations. Particularly now, more than ever, New Zealand want them to, right, you're Māori, you can lead this pōwhiri, or you can give us a proverb whakatauki for a pitch that we want to do, or you can help us get access to these tribes. So not only do they have to be good at their job, but they have to be good at being Māori as well. And we know with colonisation that most Māori aren't very good at that side, so they struggle. Particularly our early in career Māori, who what we find when they come in, the cultural tax is too high and they leave. And then these places, they're like, oh, what, they're gone. Well, it's because of this cultural tax. So we need to think about how we turn that cultural tax into cultural credit. Low trust, that comes back to some of the values that are proposed in corporate and even government organisations. Those values misalign with a lot of Māori values. And then the last one is lack of role models. When you have only two Māori in Microsoft, not even in the senior roles, you don't see yourself reflected in that organisation. And this is across the board, not just Microsoft, but across the board. So I looked at Microsoft, and I have a very supportive ally whānau, including Vanessa, who's our country manager. And these are our employee resource groups. We've got Asians at Microsoft, BAM, Blacks at Microsoft, Disability at Microsoft, GLEAM, LGBTQI+, OLA, Military, Families and Women. And they connected me in with this group called NAMA, we're Native Americans at Microsoft. They had about 15 people. I found a few in Canada, some Hawaiians, and we created over 6 months, because COVID just happened at the start of this, over 6 months we launched Indigenous at Microsoft. So in August 2020 we launched with around 25 of us, and it was a place of community. And for Maori and Indigenous people in general, our superpower is when we collectivize, when we come together. It's a very Indigenous thing, but actually it's a very human thing, which is why obviously we're here today as well. So we started off with around 25 of us in August 2020. Today we have over 3,000 of us in Microsoft globally. So it's become this real beautiful community. Our mission and vision statement is honor, share and celebrate Indigenous cultures within Microsoft and across Mother Earth. This is important because I've seen all the strategies to try and get more Maori into the organisations, and but yet they don't want to work on themselves. And it's about restoring the centre of the harakeke. Has anyone heard of Hutia Te Rito? I'm looking your way because you know the word whakatauki. Hutia Te Rito is a waiata which talks about our flax, our native flax, harakeke. And it was actually a female chief who she actually married a warring tribe chief to try and quell the fighting between the two tribes. But she was moke moke, she was sad for her people. And so she talks about Hutia Te Rito, which if you rip out the centerpiece of the center of the harakeke, the whole harakeke dies. Because you're only supposed to take from the outsides when you do your weaving. And so it talks about restoring the center of the harakeke. And that's what a lot of our organizations need to do here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. They need to work on themselves, restore the center of the harakeke. You're trying to get more of our people in? Well, do the work first. So it's how you honor Indigenous peoples, how you share their culture, and how you celebrate what they celebrate. And then that last part is shaping inclusive technology to empower future generations, is how do we put an Indigenous lens across our technologies? So I just want to show you this because I'm proud of it, and it's something that I think I'm over time, but I could finish with this if you want, bro. But it's something I'm really proud of because it's Microsoft acknowledging that they're on Indigenous lands as well, which is pretty awesome. Let's see if this works.
We acknowledge that Microsoft is headquartered on the traditional homelands of the Sammamish, the Duwamish, the Snoqualmie, the Suquamish, the Muckleshoot, the Snohomish, the Tulalip, and other Coast Salish peoples that have made this area their home since time immemorial. And we acknowledge all Indigenous peoples around the world. With a global presence, Microsoft honors these original stewards of each place and the Indigenous people who are with us today, who continue to commemorate and bring light to their histories, culture, and heritage. The mission of the Indigenous at Microsoft Employee Resource Group is to honor, share, and celebrate Indigenous cultures within Microsoft and across Mother Earth, while shaping inclusive technology to empower future generations. Whether you identify as Indigenous or you're on a journey of allyship, you are welcome to join our community. Find out more at aka.ms/indigenous.
Yeah, so really proud of that and what it means. We now have an Indigenous strategy for Microsoft, and there's a lot of words there, but it really is those top four pillars: Indigenous awareness and belonging, Indigenous knowledge sharing, Indigenous traditions and values, and how we recruit and retain Indigenous talent. And locally, our mission and vision is around how we inspire people, innovate for growth, and empower Aotearoa in Australia. I've only got a few more minutes to go. I won't play this video because it's 5 minutes, but this is a Te Reo Māori AI that we built at Microsoft. And we work with local tribes to get the AI trained. And now Te Reo Māori is available on all of the Microsoft solutions. And thousands of people are using this daily, globally. Something we're very proud of. This is anyone seen the HoloLens? It's an augmented reality. You've probably seen it, bro. Been in the tech. It's a way that you can actually see the augmented objects around you. So imagine walking into Tumutumu Whenua, a marae, and the carvings come to life. This is a kahu, and it flies around the marae, and then it speaks to you in Te Reo Māori or English, and it tells you about the mātauranga or the history of that area. And then the wall falls away and you can look out at Rangitoto and see what it looked like when it erupted 600 years ago. Our kids love this stuff. They really love it. So it's a way to really access our children and help them learn about themselves. This is tupu.nz, which is my baby. So right now we've created a digital twin, an AI version of Aotearoa New Zealand, which allows Māori to connect to their Māori land and help to protect it and help to realise potential. Right now we partner with Te Puni Kōkiri, which is the Māori Development Agency, to make that happen. This is an app that we work with the local tribe, Ngāti Whātua, it's an app that talks about karakia, blessings, maramataka, which is we have a strong connection to the moon, and it gives ancestral wisdom about that. And then it's information as well, but it also uses AI and solutions in the back there as well to connect people. And Tenke Wahine is another thing I'm really proud of, to enable 10,000 women in New Zealand to secure digital roles. We use our partners to do that, and we're well over 6,000 now. So in summary, Māori values are good for everyone. They're not just there for Māori, they're there for all of us. We're all on Māori land, so my challenge to you is find out who your local tribe is, connect, understand who them. Don't just say their name. There are some places who around the world that may exist just across the ditch who are very good at land acknowledgements, but truly know who that iwi is. Who is your tribe? Te tiriti relationships doesn't have to be hard. For me, it's simple. It's walking together in relationship. Sometimes hand in hand, sometimes not. Relationships are tough. Sometimes they're not always right, but you've got to keep working at it. I look at my wife, and the reason why I put her up there is we just celebrated our 20-year wedding anniversary, which I know is nothing compared to some of you, but I look at our marriage as a place to work. I go there to give. I don't go there to take. And that's what we've got to think about with the Waitangi relationship. Our relationship with Māori is a place we go to give rather than take from. And modern organisations can be platforms to do good mahi for community in Māori. We don't have to think that, the modern world is not good. It can be good for us. So, with that, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa. Kia ora tātou.
As I expected, educational, provocative, and inspiring. So thank you very much for that. And I've heard some of the story before, but much of it I hadn't, so it was great to hear. I know we're a bit over time, so but we'll finish this, and then we'll have a couple of minutes for Q&A with Nan. So at this point, I will extinguish the chalice. So please join with me if you wish to say the words for extinguishing the chalice, and John will put those in the chat box for Zoom as well. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. A lot of fire today. So just a bit of time for Q&A, and I would just ask those of you in the church who have a question to come up here, just so the people on Zoom can see you and hear you as well, because the microphone is up here, and anyone on Zoom who wants to ask a question, then John will let us know.
I have one written question.
Okay.
And sorry, I don't... Can you give me the mic?
All right, there we go. So John McDonald wrote in
ended with a question. So I have been impressed by the role that Mirai served in times of disaster. This seems to me an example where it is easy to make a compelling case for support from the community as a whole of what can be achieved by attention to Maori values in a society that is highly individualistic. Hmm. Is this recognized by government?
Yeah, it's been beautiful to see the marae step up for our community that have been ravaged by the cyclone and also the floods. But that isn't new. That's been actually the case for a long time. Te Puia Marae, when COVID first hit, they were out there in the community for Māori and non-Māori. And that is actually the kaupapa of our Māori, us, our marae. And that's what they exist for. They actually exist for the community, for you. You can, it's actually a space for you to go. They are effectively non-profits. So in that way, the government supports us. They allow us to set up charitable trusts. So for my marae, the Miri Marae Charitable Trust, which means we don't pay tax, but we don't make much money. We have some land that we lease out to a farmer who uses it for his farming. And we also get a little bit of money from our tribe. We get a dividend from the fisheries work that they do of around $15,000 a year, which pays for our insurances. But in terms of the upkeep, that's just done with love, with aroha. During this recent cyclone, our marae have been pillars in the community, housing people, allowing them to sleep in the marae, feeding people, exactly what marae are supposed to be doing. So I would say there's a challenge there for the government to do more. But it's not just a government thing. We shouldn't put it all on their shoulders. It's actually a community thing. We should all, just like churches I know have stepped up too. Our marae are just another place in community for all people.
Dan, thank you so much for your talk. I really, really enjoyed it.
Kia ora.
My ancestor came here in New Zealand in 1821 and ended up marrying into Maori, local Maori. Unfortunately, I didn't inherit that part. So I'm quite fascinated with the history. Hope he didn't do too much wrong. My question is, I'm an atheist, and I get extremely irritated if I'm at a somewhere where somebody tries, I don't know, blesses things with a religious connotation, whether it's Maori, whether it's another culture, whether it's Pākehā, it all irritates me that they're bringing religion into...
Kia ora.
Yeah, can you... I'm still quite... why did Maori take on this horrible white religion and Pacifica people?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It seems like the religion did so much wrong to Indigenous peoples.
Mm.
Surely they want to just go get stuffed.
Yeah, thank you for your question. And I think that's, it's actually, I get asked that a lot. And Pacifica people are a whole next level with religion. They, you know, going to Tonga or going to Rarotonga, you know, they are deeply committed to their religious connections. For Māori and Pacifica people as well, they were spiritual people, not so much a religious people. So most of those karakia that you hear, I would say more than half of them would be non-Christian karakia. Like for instance, the one that I opened with was more of a recent one, which says honour and glory to God, peace to all mankind and across the earth. But my main karakia that goes back Maeranō, thousands of years, talks about connection. And actually I did it for our Indigenous whānau this morning. It's our connection to the environment, mountains, river, sea and trees and animals. Our connection to the land that we're on, our connection to our ancestors, and then our connection to each other. So most of the karakia are those kind of things. They're very much talking about our place in this world. They talk about things like the wind. They talk about connection to the sunrise. One karakia, which is very famous, called Wakataka Te Hau, talks about the way the wind works and how with all of the tumultuous times of the wind, there's always the dawn of a new day. So it talks about the positivity of staying resilient. And you're right, and it sounds like it's us getting up and doing a karakia to God. And not always. It's about saying the human connection to this world is more important. Kia ora.
I'm very conscious of the talk, but Larry, we cannot leave without Larry getting his question answered.
So this one isn't, the start isn't really directed to you exactly. It's more directed to everyone. Kete Piakoi, how are you?
Kete Poi. Yes.
Do you have a question?
I was taught that by my Maori teacher, and I often get this question a lot too, so I wanted to ask you it. Do you believe all schools in New Zealand should teach kids Maori?
Oh, personally, I would love to see that in my lifetime. I think it'll be a journey. It wouldn't be something that we just put in place. We'd need to work towards that. But if we could do that and do it in a way that was authentic and a way that brought everyone on the journey, it would be a beautiful thing for Aotearoa in New Zealand. Great question. Kia ora. Thank you.
And one more question from Rachel.
It's not really a question. It's just, Dan, thank you. And I've been in Māori spaces enough that it felt really weird to me when you finished and we didn't do a waiata tautoko.
Kia ora.
And I had one, which is ehara, and I wasn't gumption enough to do it because I thought most people might not know it. But would you sing it with me?
Yes. Yeah.
Ehara, I te mea noi mai nei, te aroha no ma, tuku nai tuku iho, I tuku iho.
Thanks to everyone. Thanks to Dan. We're going to have some tea and coffee and some kai. So I hope you can stay around. Maybe you get a chance to meet some of our guests as well.